I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us for the Sunday night service here on April 17th. We wish you could be here, and you probably wish you could be here, but we are still live streaming, still ministering, still looking to be a blessing, and we are counting you a blessing. As I mentioned this morning, on Friday, we had a little wedding, Laura and Scott Bouzier. They got married, and it's always exciting to be a part of those things. It's one of the highlights of being a pastor. I love to do weddings. I love to go and pray with new moms and dads when they have new babies. Those are kind of the highlight things, but I love to preach. I have to say, it's a little more enjoyable when there's a congregation when I'm preaching into a camera. But I suppose I could get used to it. Now I'm a little bit afraid. Am I going to be able to preach when you're back? Will I be too intimidated by all those smiley faces? I told John, you know, it's kind of different. I look out, there's nobody falling asleep. There's nobody poking their spouse. No, we don't really have a lot of that, but we were just joking around about it. But I'm so glad you've come this evening to worship with us. And as I mentioned this morning, tonight, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to go into the Bible, and we're going to look at heaven. So let's open up our service with a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to John and Ashley, who are going to lead us in a couple songs. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we go into this service, that in every way it would honor you. I ask that you'd minister to the hearts and lives of folks who are live streaming this service, that it would be you that ministers to their heart and their souls. And the miraculous and wondrous thing, Lord, is you are omnipresent. You're everywhere all the time. You're omniscient. You know all things. Therefore, you know exactly where each of us are. And there you are with us as we worship you. And I just pray that you would be with each of our church family and those who are worshiping with us, that in every way they might draw nearer to you, and that we might love heaven and look forward to it a little bit more because of this service this evening. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John and Ashley?
Would you be free from the sin, there's power in the the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well, which never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So my brother, this world gave you, leave hungers that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Thank you very much. That was a blessing. Announcements, just want to remind you again to be in prayer for those folks in our church who are going through some difficult health issues. Johnny Gay and Diane Lepore, Susie Rivett, Barb Fairbrother, they all really could use your special prayers. And again, if you have a special prayer request, reach out to us. Let us know in the office. We'll include you in our midweek Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. And then also, don't forget about the food bank. We'd sure love to hear from you and help you out. It would be a blessing to us to be a part of helping you and your family. Other than that, the only announcement is I'm looking forward to when you come back to church to worship right here live. So we're going to turn it back over to John and Ashley, as they're going to lead us in a couple more songs.
Forever I am redeemed. lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen.
Thank you very much, John and Ashley. And I would like to ask you this evening to get ready to go with me in the scriptures to heaven. Now, this morning, as I preached on the rest that the Lord offers to each and every one of us, He offers it to us as a gift, as a tool, and then as a place. And so as I referred to and looked at the scriptures about heaven, I told you that tonight we would go in the Word of God and we would actually go to heaven. Now that's triggered somewhat by John chapter 14. I read to you this morning verses 1 through 4. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his apostles and letting them know that they need to not worry, they need to not fret, they need to not be afraid, because he has gone to prepare them a heavenly home. Just as he has you, if you've received Christ into your heart and life and you're born again, you're a child of God, then he has gone to prepare a place for you. So tonight, I'm going to show you 9 things very quickly. John just looked up from the camera. He's thinking, what? Nope, we're going to do it pretty quick. It's not going to be a 3-hour message. I'm going to try to keep it pretty timely, because I know at your house right now, you've got your dinner on, you're getting ready to fire up a wonderful, phenomenal, amazing supper, and I don't want to keep you from it. So, we are going to look at 9 things concerning that wonderful place called heaven. First of all, we see in Revelation chapter 4, if you'll turn with me, Revelation chapter 4, and you want to have your Bible out right there in your lap, ready to turn to these scriptures. Maybe you have a little piece of paper and a pen. You can jot them down and go back and look at them later as well. But we're going to go and look at 9 things concerning heaven, this wonderful place. So a place of astounding beauty. Look with me to Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 4, and go with me as the heaven opens and we look into the very throne of God. We're going to go and see a beautiful place. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. So as John the Beloved looked up and God opened heaven itself, he looked into the very throne and there he saw God. And he said, God was so beautiful, so amazing, so wondrous. The only way he could describe him was as to describe precious jewels, precious stones. And then around him were the 24 elders and upon them crowns of gold. And if you read farther down in that text, you will see amazing things as John looked up into heaven itself. Yes, heaven is a beautiful place. The second one I want you to see is that heaven is actually a wondrous place of learning. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 4, and I want you to see that heaven is in just absolutely a wondrous place of learning. I like to learn, and I want to hope you like to learn, and especially we like to learn spiritual truths. Listen to what he says here. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And remember, the third heaven is where God is. The first heaven is our atmosphere here on earth. The second heaven is the celestial heaven where all the stars are, and beyond that is the third heaven. And so he tells us, he says, he conversed with a man, whether in the body or the spirit, he's not sure, but he conversed with a man who had gone to the third heaven. He says in verse 3, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So the Apostle Paul says that this individual that he had met, and many people believe that he's actually referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you remember in the book of Acts, it tells us that he went into the hinder part of the desert, and for 3 years he learned the things of the Lord. And so many people believe that it was in that time that he met this man who had been to the third heaven, our Lord. And so he tells us here that this man had heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So we find that when we get to heaven, we are going to learn things that can't even be uttered here, things that we ourselves cannot know. It's beyond our comprehension. In fact, Christ had told his disciples, he said, how can I teach you heavenly things when you can't even understand the simple things that I'm teaching you? There is so much there that we are going to learn and see and know. Heaven is a wondrous place of learning. Heaven is an astounding place of beauty. The third one I want you to see is that heaven is a place of eternal perfection. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So when we look at this text, we see that the apostle, under the inspiration of God, is telling us that you and I have an inheritance. Where is that inheritance? It is an inheritance in heaven itself. That inheritance is eternal life. And I want you to notice here in verse 4, he says that he has for us an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You and I, Christ has gone to prepare us a home, a heavenly home. And in that heavenly home, we have eternal life. And that eternal life is something that is eternally perfect. It cannot fade away. It cannot be corruptible. It is absolutely undefiled. In fact, in verse 5, he wants to make it clear. He says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't it wonderful that it's not by our power that we have a heavenly home reserved? It's not by our strength that we have salvation in glory, but instead it is by the power of God through faith that you and I have this eternally perfect heavenly home. The fourth one I want you to see is that it is a place of delicious refreshment. Now, I kind of like that. When I just said that, John kind of smiled because he's planning on Hannah having an amazing dinner for him at home. So let's go ahead and look at a couple verses. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Let's look right there. And I want you to see, looking into heaven, that there is delicious refreshment waiting for you and I. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you and I that has overcome the devil, you and I that have overcome evil, you and I that have overcome all that rejects God, and we have overcome by receiving Christ as our Savior and accepting Him into our hearts and our lives, He says for us, He has for us the opportunity to eat of the tree of life. Well, what is the tree of life? Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he tells us that in the midst of the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. And in heaven is the tree of life. And he says here that it was made, that it was good to look at and it was good to eat. Well, actually, let's go and learn a little bit more about this tree of life. Let's see if we can't learn something about kind of what happened with the tree of life. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 22, 23, and 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has come as one of us to know good and evil. Talking about Adam and Eve, they'd partaken of that fruit of good and evil, and so sin came upon them, and they had the knowledge of good and evil. He says, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So as long as that Garden of Eden was there, there were those cherubims with flaming swords guarding the tree of life that Adam and Eve could not partake of it. So where did it go? It went to heaven. Look with me again at another text, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, here we find in the very last chapter of the entire Bible, what do you think we find? The tree of life. Look with me down at Revelation chapter 22, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 and 2. And John the Beloved said, he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now listen to the fruit, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So we've already looked at texts about the tree of life. It tells us that it's a beautiful tree, that it's good to eat. Now we learn that it bears 12 manner of fruit, and it bears 12 manner of fruit, new fruit, every single month. I'm telling you what, when we look into heaven, it is a place of delicious refreshment. So I'm going to bring you down to the fourth of these places that we're going to look into that teach us about heaven, and that is we learn that it is a place of uplifting fellowship. Look with me over at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And John writes this as God inspires him. He says, after this I beheld. He looked and he saw, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So when you look at this text, you find that John the Beloved says he looks into heaven, and there at the throne of God is a great vast multitude of people. And that multitude of people come from all nations and all kindreds, all peoples, and every tongue. Can you imagine with me the uplifting fellowship we're going to have in heaven? Every once in a while you talk to people who say, oh, heaven, I don't want to go to heaven. It's a boring place. They don't know anything about what they're talking about. Heaven is a place that is amazing. It's a wondrous place. We know it's a place of astounding beauty. It has wondrous things to learn. We know that it's got delicious refreshments, and it absolutely has uplifting fellowship. Because one day, all the missionaries that we invest in, who have gone and ministered around the world and led people to Christ, we're going to meet those people from every country, every tongue, every kindred. We're going to meet them. It will be an uplifting place of fellowship. But you know, one of the other things I love about this wondrous place called heaven is it is a place of glorious music. Look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 14, and I'm going to read to you verses 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So God tells us, he says through inspiring John to write this, he tells us that up in heaven there will be singing. And that singing will be so full and so loud that it will sound as many waters. If you've ever gone to a place like the Niagara Falls, or you've ever even been to a small waterfall like Texas Falls right down here on 125, when you stand beside that roaring water, and the more it is, the louder it gets. And so John says, when I heard them singing, it was like many waters, just that sound of so many people singing. And he says it's a voice of great thunders. The other evening, Sandra Jo and I were up in the upstairs of our house, and we were talking, and all of a sudden we heard rumbling thunder in the distance. Our house sits up on a ridge looking out to the west towards the Adirondack Mountains, and looking off to the east, I can see the Green Mountains. And so we hear all those things that come across up through the valley. Can you imagine in heaven, as we hear people lifting up their voices in song, and as thunder rolling across the mountains are the beautiful voices of those songs, as those harpers harp and play their music, as the trumpets blow and proclaim praise to God. So we see that heaven is a place of glorious music. As we come down one more, we see that heaven is a place of amazing scents. They say that this COVID-19, that was some of the very, very first signs that you have the COVID, is you lose your sense of smell and your sense of taste. Well, that helps me a little bit, because once in a while, this time of year, I get just the tiniest bit of allergies and it'll make me cough or sneeze. Today, I sneezed and John said, uh-oh. And then he said, well, it's probably a little bit of allergies. Well, as long as I can smell and taste, I'm feeling pretty good. When we get to heaven, the Bible tells us there are amazing scents. Look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, this is up in heaven, this is John looking into glory, and when the Lord Jesus Christ takes the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or incense or scents, which are the prayers of the saints. So here the elders are before God, worshiping the Lamb of God. They have a harp and they have a golden container, and from it comes the scent of the prayers of the saints. So can you imagine right now, heaven, every time we come together and we worship, or every time at your house you bow your heads and you go to the Lord in prayer, those prayers come up to God as a scent, as an incense of beautiful odor. So heaven is a place of just glorious music and amazing scents. And last of all, I want you to see with me, not least of all, but last of all, because I'm running out of adjectives. So the last one we have is a place of inspirational worship. That's heaven. We've looked into heaven. I'm going to show you. It's a place of inspirational worship. Revelation chapter 7, and I'm going to read to you verses 10 on down through 12. Revelation 7, 10 down through 12. And I cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. When you look in that text, we find that they are lifting up their voices. Verse 11 tells us they are worshiping God in heaven. And there are so many other verses we could look at. We could look at where the angels celebrate in heaven every time somebody comes to faith. There's so many things that we could look at. Heaven is a wondrous place. My hope and my prayer is that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you have that heavenly home, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. You can have that hope. You can have that place of rest. You can have that peace by simply receiving Him into your hearts and life. Thank you so much for coming tonight and worshiping with us. I know it's via live stream, but I look forward to when you, yes, you, come and worship here with us. Maybe you live far, far away. Look over at your spouse right now and say, we need to take a vacation in Vermont and go worship at Victory Baptist Church. I hope you do. I really do. I've told friends of mine who live all around the world, you're always welcome to come and be a part of any of our services. So thank you for being with us tonight. I look forward and pray for the day when we can come back together as a church family. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can worship you here. And we look forward to the day when we can worship you there. We thank you that heaven is a wondrous place. And as I used all those adjectives to describe all those things, Lord, we look with great expectation to what you have prepared for us. Please comfort my brothers and sisters in Christ with these words, that they might know that we are going to see the other side of this time, this being locked down with COVID-19. And even beyond this, we know we have a heavenly home. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.